Let us pray. Gracious God, as we reflect upon the overwhelming power of Jesus' healing touch, we pray that you will open our hearts to a greater awareness of how he has and will continue to heal us, so that we might in turn be instruments of your healing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It's strange at this point to say that and not have everybody say, "Let's go." With our vacation church camp this week, that was sort of our catch response to everything that we did. Well, if you think I'm going to preach about the pigs, you can forget it. Because it's not about the pigs. We will touch on the pigs a bit, but there is too much that is in this story to not get to what really matters. You've probably heard of C.S. Lewis, a great Christian writer, and he writes a book called The Screwtape Letters, in which he's got this conversation going on and basically trying to teach these young devils how to be good devils. And in the introduction to the book, he says, there are two things that devils really like that humans do. Number one, they pay too much attention to the devil. And that's when we get into witch hunts and everything else, and we find devils under every corner. But then he says, and secondly, and probably more importantly, is humans paying too little attention to the devil. The devil exists. Evil exists. And it shouldn't be such that it paralyzes us, but it should be an acknowledgement that we have on a continual basis, so that we call upon the one who has much more power, and that is Jesus. We're in the 8th chapter of Luke. And in this 8th chapter, Luke is showing to us the power of Jesus. He has power over nature. In the story just before this, Jesus calms the storm at sea. He can make the winds and the sea obey him. He has power. Then he goes and he shows his power over evil in this story we hear today. We heard a couple weeks ago another story where he heals Jairus' daughter without even going anywhere. And of course, this shows his power over death. Little girl, get up. And then we have the fourth way in which he does this, which continues to be his healing, that the woman with the hemorrhage who touches his cloak, he heals that woman and he shows his power over sickness. It is this tremendous power that needs to be sort of our overall emphasis, that there is nothing in our lives that Jesus cannot overcome. Those demons, they recognize who he is. They wouldn't speak the way they spoke unless they realized who this was. Don't torment us. Let us go into the pigs. So the most important thing here is the power of Jesus and what Jesus can and will do. Then we have this man, the possessed man. He says, when Jesus asked them, "What is your name?" Our name is Legion. And the reason that dialogue is in there is because in Old Testament times, into the New Testament, if you knew someone's name, you had some sort of power over that entity. So remember, just like they want to know, Moses and all the people want to know what God's name is, and he just tells them, "Yahweh, I am who I am." Because God is the one who has the power. Here, the name is mentioned to show that Jesus has power over these demons. Legion. What's a legion? Legion is 6,000 Roman soldiers. Can you imagine what a mess this guy must have been? 6,000 demons tormenting him. I think we experienced that. I think it was Thursday at our closing of VCC. I think that was the day where it seemed like demons were running everywhere. But Jesus won out. We come then to this realization. This man is, remember how Luke had the woman last week and trying to show that she was the lowest of the low, where this week he's trying to do the same similar kind of a thing. This guy is possessed. He's rejected. He doesn't even wear any clothes. It is so bad that they can't even keep him into the chains that bind him. He breaks loose of that. And he's living in the tombs alone. He's living with all the decaying, rotting bodies. Yuck. That is what this guy is facing. Now, with the result of what happens to him, it is an incredible differential in his life. And it would not be surprising that in this day and age terms, he wants to become a groupie. He just wants to follow Jesus around. It shouldn't be surprising to us. Jesus just changed his entire life in an instant. But Jesus doesn't let him do that, does he? And here's one of the lessons for us. In some way, God has been active in our lives. We're alive today. That's a blessing in itself. And the blessings will go on and on and on. And as we realize those, it's not just for our own sweet selves that we experience and recognize those blessings, but it's so we will have the strength and the grace to go out and be a blessing to other people. And so this is what he has this guy do. Don't stay with me. Go back to your family and make known to them everything that I have done for you. And you know, this is the only story in Luke's gospel where Jesus goes into Gentile territory. It's like a clue that Luke gives us to his next book, which is the book of Acts, where all those apostles will go out and start doing all these wonderful things, including opening the gospel up to the Gentiles. With our kids this week, all five stories we had were from the book of Acts. And it has a lot to do with the spreading it out to the whole world. God's love is for everybody, we said. And with that, then, it becomes important for us to realize then that in our own lives, these blessings are for us to have grace and strength to go out, not to just sit. You know, we can have the holy huddle, as some people call it, every week. But if this is all our faith is, then it's really lifeless. The idea is for us, we come together, we are strengthened so that when we are dismissed, we go out to share those blessings with others. Then we come to the other people. They were afraid. They were really afraid. Now, this isn't the first time in the gospel we hear about fear, is it? I mean, the angel appeared to Mary and said, "You're going to be the mother of Jesus." And what's the first thing the angel had to say? "Don't be afraid, Mary." She was afraid. The angel appears to Joseph. "Don't be afraid, Joseph." Joseph was afraid. In the story just before this, Jesus calms the storm at sea and the disciples are terrified. Fear is a common element that goes on in these stories, but the important part is what do we do with that fear? There is a call that life is going to have to change. That things are going to be different. And there is always going to be fear in our lives regarding that. Whatever it is, no matter how small or how great. And the fear comes in is because we fear the unknown. We don't know what it's going to be like. They didn't know what it was going to be like to have this guy back in their midst again. They're probably a little jealous too. All these bad things we had called this guy and treated him like dirt, now he's got a special connection with somebody who's pretty powerful. I wonder if he's going to come back and get even with us. They had great fear. But they didn't have to do what they did. Jesus, get out of here. They dismissed the whole thing because they want to preserve the status quo. Now here's where the pigs come in. You know, it's not that Jesus wouldn't love the blessing of the animals. He's not out to get the pigs. But the important part is, pigs were already considered in that culture unclean, huh? Even to this day, Jews do not eat pork. So the symbolism here is that which is already unclean is destroyed for the sake of the greater thing that is saved, meaning this man's soul. Now the important thing for us from this is to consider the ways in which we perhaps want to maintain the status quo. When something in our lives or in someone else's life is calling them to grow, it's a threat to me. It's a threat to you, because it means I'm going to have to change too. And that can be a hard, hard thing, and it brings fear. But I would pose this to you. The way in which you have experienced God's healing, or the way in which you are being called to experience God's healing or change or growth, is the best and most powerful way that God will work in and through your life. Think about the characters in the Bible. We talked last week a little bit about David. What a despicable character he was. Remember that story? He had a man killed in battle because he lusted after the man's wife. How low can you go? But Jesus ends up, God using David as one of the greatest messengers of his love in the entire scriptures. Look at St. Paul, killed thousands of people, but having been healed from that, there is this incredible, incredible way in which God works in his life so that he goes out and makes known how much the Lord has done for him. So the important thing here then is this. Where in your life have you experienced that? It's not necessarily going to be something as drastic as a David or even a Paul or even a demon, but it might be. I mean, I know a lot of us have dealt with addictions of one kind or another. We have dealt with sicknesses. We've been cured of ills, both psychological, spiritual, and physical. Wherever that deepest part is of you, I guarantee you that's where God wants to work a miracle in your life so that you become the messenger just like this man did. I ran across a story that I'd like to end with today that Philip Yancey tells, and it tells the story of somebody who had to go basically into the tombs, but through that experienced the way in which he could become a conduit of God's love. Here's what the story says. A pastor who had helped with the liberation of Dachau, the concentration camp at the end of World War II. That particular man and another man were assigned to a boxcar. Inside the boxcar were human corpses stacked like firewood. The two men were to pick up the corpses and carry them to a particular place. Now and then, they would come across someone who was still alive, buried amongst those corpses. The man said this, "It was on that day when I found the first live person that I felt called by God to become a pastor. First, there was the horror of the corpses in the boxcar. I could not absorb such a scene. But when I saw it, I knew beyond doubt that I must spend my life serving whatever opposed such evil." Yancey asked the man if he had ever questioned his call as he sat in his office day by day, listening to middle-class yuppies ramble on about their personal problems. And the man responded, "Without being melodramatic, I sometimes wonder what might have happened if a skilled, sensitive person had befriended the young, impressionable Adolf Hitler as he wandered the streets of Vienna in his confused state. The world might have been spared all that bloodshed, spared the horror of Dachau." And then the pastor said, "I never know who might be sitting in that chair that you are occupying right now." the man had the right idea. He took what he had experienced, for better or for worse, and allowed God to use that so that he became an instrument of God's healing. May the same happen for all of us.